Lord, settle our hearts and our minds and open our the spirit of our hearts to receive your truth, these proverbs, Lord, that you gave, that our homes might abide by them, Lord, and be led by them. Lord, they're the foundation for society and culture. And so we pray, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts. Lord, if we've let any of these things slip in our own lives, Lord, or if we've become comfortable compromising, I pray that by your Spirit, Lord, that you would stir our hearts. And so just bless this time and speak to us through your word. In Jesus' holy and precious name, amen. The Proverbs, it is the fear of the Lord that brings us to open our hearts to the Word of God and everything. Certainly in these Proverbs of Solomon, generally, you know, the Proverbs that they collected direct us to the entirety of the Word of God and God's truth. And so we've been seeing how in Solomon speaking to his sons, his daughters, his children, and may have put a personal pen, right, to these proverbs for his children. Who knows how many he ultimately had, with 700 wives and 300 concubines. But generally speaking to God's sons and daughters and speaking to us through these things. And so verse 20, it says, "My son, keep your father's command and do not forsake the law of your mother." You know, in God's law, we know this, God's law is wisdom for life. And they're not to be restrictions, so to speak, and we know that oftentimes people look at them as restrictions. God's a bummer, doesn't want me to have fun, because in sin can be fun, but it's only fun for a while, and recognizing that there will always be consequences to our sin. There will be consequences, and we run into the consequences. You know, then we'll either argue it's not fair that there's consequences to our sin, or we will come to reason, and just as the Lord calls us to come and reason with Him and acknowledge that God's word is right and His law is good. I like this though: don't forsake the law of your mother. And we talked about this, and even in Paul writing about husbands and wives and the wise man and the wise woman builds her home. And the home is, and we're playing pickleball now, and part of the pickleball court is called the kitchen. Right? Stay out of the kitchen. And when I was playing basketball, the key was the kitchen. And then had another name, and I haven't played in so long, I can't remember. But that idea, you know, it was the house. Some might call it the kitchen too, but there were rules and laws for entering those places, and there should be, you know, a wise man allows mom to rule the home. That's her place. And wise children will not forsake the law of mom, because it is ratified and carried out. Any transgression against mom's law is ratified and carried out by dad, and that's the wise way to do it, and should be. So bind them continually upon your heart. Tie them around your neck. When you roam, they will lead you. When you sleep, they will keep you. And when you awake, they will speak with you. And David, we know, the great sweet psalmist, talks about meditating on God's word day and night, you know, and just great wisdom to let it start your day and for it to be on your heart as you lay your head down upon the pillow. There are promises of peace and comfort and those things. So, for the commandment is a lamp and the law a light. I wonder, certainly Solomon probably knew of David's psalm, Psalm 119, your word, Lord, is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And how he constantly wrote how good God's law, his precepts, all of those things, ordinances were good and they were right. And they are right to live by. Reproofs of instruction are the way of life. To keep you from the evil woman, from the flattering tongue of a seductress. You know, we've avoided, Beth and I have been blessed, and she's probably at home listening, unless Hannah actually just got home. But, you know, we've avoided the drama of teen relationships and young adult relationships. Yet, we've been informed that there's a young lady that's caught PJ's eye. So, oh boy. And so, you know, that, and it's not the birds and the bees talk, but the talk is going to come about how a man is to treat a woman, and you know, if, and especially in today's, I was raised, you open the door, you do those things, but we live in a culture and a society now where it's not received well sometimes. Don't you do that for me. I can open my, you know, all that stuff. So I'm going to have to talk about it, you know. If she's not a woman, right? Run. Doesn't appreciate that attitude and right actions towards her. So I don't know. I'm just thinking out loud. I thought I'd share that with you. Pray for PJ. Hannah got her ears pierced at 23. She got her driver's license at 23, and she got her ears pierced at 23. And there's something that just adds to the beauty of my daughter. And now, you know, I'm going to have to go get another gun. Yeah. They're growing up. Do not lust from the flattering tongue of the seductress. Do not lust after her beauty in your heart, nor let her allure you with her eyelids. For by means of a harlot, a man is reduced to a crust of bread, and an adulteress will prey upon his precious life. Like that idea, reduced to a crust of bread. They will reduce one's livelihood. You know, they're after, quite often, the material things, and the security that comes from that. But you know, we know that today's strip clubs, pornography, all of these things. There were billions and billions of dollar industries. And you know, just like gambling, on the one hand, you know, so many people are losing their livelihoods. They're being reduced to a crust of bread for, you know, having gambling addictions, and now you have, you know, these sexual addictions that come through pornography and strip clubs and everything else. So that's what it's talking about, losing one's livelihood. An adulteress will prey upon his precious life. Can a man take fire to his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Can one walk on hot coals and his feet not be seared? And you know, it's not really the first thought. And James says this about sin and let me get to it. I didn't mark it, so give me a second here. But he says, Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed, or he's lured. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. And so, you know, that idea, once it that desire has taken root, and that's when the trouble is going to start. You know, there's always a way out. It doesn't happen instantly. There's always a way out. And so is he who goes into his neighbor's wife. Whoever touches her shall not be innocent. And obviously, addressing the commandment, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. And the same is true for wives. Thou shalt not covet your neighbor's husband. People do not despise a thief if he steals to satisfy himself when he is starving. You know, and kind of having the attitude, if he's truly starving and has to resort to that, you know, I think as Christians and as the church, that's opportunity to lend a helping hand, not beat them down. This isn't talking about the thieves that we see today that won't go out and get a job and provide for themselves or provide for them their families and stuff. And you know, we have people that come by that ask for help and stuff like that. We've got one gentleman that comes by very consistently, and he claims to be a different person each time he comes by. He's driving a car that's nicer than most of our cars, and he needs help. He needs money. He's just, you know, he's a professional beggar. And I've sat down and talked to him. I said, you know, why aren't you working? You seem healthy enough. Oh yeah, I'm going through the, you know, every time he's got a job coming and stuff. And those people, it's not the place of the church to help the people that are scammers, that are stealing and doing for themselves what they, you know, are doing, asking of others that they're able to do for themselves. But you know, to have a right heart towards those who are truly needy. And, you know, it says that when he is found, he must restore sevenfold, put him in a much tougher situation. And that would be justice. But, you know, we've been saved by grace through faith, and understanding that people need that grace that are in those situations. And so, you know, not to despise somebody that are in a tough situation, but an opportunity to help them, because according to the law and justice, if they're caught, they're going to have to replace sevenfold of what they already don't have, which is going to be even harder. So to have hearts of compassion, I believe, is wisdom, to understand the situation and know whether or not it's something that was brought upon themselves, or that, you know what I'm saying, that they're not doing for themselves, or they really do need the help. He may have to give up all the substance of his house. Whoever commits adultery with a woman lacks understanding. He who does so destroys his own soul. Wounds and dishonor he will get, and his reproach will not be wiped away. For jealousy is a husband's fury, therefore he will not spare in the day of vengeance. I was thinking about that. I don't know how I would react if that were ever to happen. You know, praise God, I'm married to a godly woman, and I don't worry about those things. I'm surprised there aren't more acts of passion from men who find out that their, you know, that their wife has been with somebody else. I don't know, that's just my head thinking. But what the there is a warning that comes with that. You're putting your life in danger by being with somebody else's wife. You're going to be found out. If it continues, you know, God warns about these things, and we've talked about it. It could be with a sexually transmitted disease. Or how many people have been found out because it results in a pregnancy? And the sad thing is, and I said, so many ministries have been destroyed by lack of wisdom, by not listening to the word, by allowing oneself, you know, that seat of desire to be drawn towards, you know, through sexual sin or going after somebody else's wife, somebody that's not your own wife, not your own husband. Sad to see, and it's continuing. We're going to take a look at, I think a lot of that has to do with the lack of wisdom in the pulpits today and buying in to today's social media and the church building and the social engineering of the church instead of adhering to Acts 2:42 that says, and that we remain in the apostles' doctrine and the breaking of bread, fellowship, and prayer. That's God's design and model for the church. And we have, to a great extent, accepted and brought in the world's model, best practices, business model, all these other things. And it's proving itself to be very unwise, even for the pastors, for the ministers, for the leaders. And we need to be careful. So he says, he will accept no recompense, nor will he be appeased, though you may, or you give many gifts. You may not be able to appease that angry spouse. My son, keep my words and treasure my commands within you. Treasure my commands. Not, you know, it's so much today you go in and you hear the pet subjects. Oh, I like this. Oh, I don't want to hear about that. You know, this is talking about treasuring the totality of God's word and understanding that God withholds nothing from us, nothing that is good. He knows what is good and what is best for each and every one of us. And he's given us that in his word. And we acknowledge that. And those that hold it close and treasure those things constantly, that's a way, right? We've talked about having discretion, a good path, a right path in our lives. This is a way to walk a right path, a straight path. And so, keep my commands and live, because his commands and his laws are about life. They're about life. It's and an abundant life. We know in the New Testament we're told that that in Christ we have an abundant life. My law and my law as the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Say to wisdom, you are my sister, and call understanding your nearest kin, that they may keep you from the immoral woman, from the seductress who flatters with her words. You know, and from the very beginning, God's laws, God's commandments, I say that they're life, they're only good, they're for our good. And that's true all the way back to the garden, because God's instruction, I mean, absolute liberty for Adam and Eve. You may eat from every tree in the garden except one. Oh, he's right? And that's what we do. Oh, that's the one that I really have. That's the one. He doesn't want me to know what how good that one is. No, you everything else. Liberty. You have liberty. Everything else. Just not that one tree, right? and it entice. And so we read the Word of God, and it entices. Well, why won't God let me do this? Why will God keep me from this? Oh boy, it's satisfying, and that is what is the avenue where trouble then enters into our lives, right? For at the window of my house, I looked through my lattice and saw among the simple. I perceived among the youths a young man devoid of understanding, a naive young man passing along the street near her corner. And he took the path to her house in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night. In this picture, I was thinking about it. You know, today, you don't have to look out the window and the idea and watch this and think about yourself as wisdom, looking out the window and watching this happen to the naive young man and the seductress. You don't have to look out the window of your home anymore. It's infiltrated every one of our homes. It has. Lenin said this, "Give me just one generation of youth and I'll transform the whole world." And he also said, "Destroy the family, you destroy the country." And the destruction of our country isn't coming through politics. It's coming through our education and our education system. Those of you that are into social media, and you know the battles that are going on, the withholding of what they claim is disinformation, and lost in the blur of all of this. Some of you, and we know that there are parents now that are with lawsuits against these social media companies, Meta, which is Instagram, Facebook, Facecrack, and TikTok, and all these other things for the targeting of their children, you know, and the way that it makes them feel inadequate and all these other things, and it's all being done through influencers, the beautiful people. You notice that that's where they're all flocking to, Swifties. I'm going to tell you, it's a indicator of where our younger generation finds, or what our younger generation sees or finds as the pin, you know, the, what is the word I'm looking for, right? Just what they desire to be. And parents that are promoting this. Instagram and TikTok, they all have them. Facebook, they have what they call reels. They're like the 5 second to 40 second, 60 second little snap videos that you can watch and that all of the influencers are using now. And so the Wall Street Journal has found that these reels show videos that match your interests and preferences. And they are now using, and they have AI, artificial intelligence, that is making the logarithms, that's creating the logarithms, that's following the reels. If you're involved in any of those, and there's a lot of adults that are, and there are a lot in the church, I've told you before, I don't Facebook, I don't do all, I don't. I, it's just something I think the Lord has protected me from. And I will say this, I have gotten texts before that directs me to something that they, and I know the argument, oh, but it can be used for good. Yeah, but know this, you're being fooled because of what's coming in through those streams. And I'm going to tell you what it is in a minute. But, you know, I have got like something, you know, they're cute, the dance things. And then they also, TikTok has the dumb challenges that are risking people's lives. But those are all like the idea of reels, quick videos that can be cute. And so I got, you know, one of those cute ones, and I downloaded it, and I had to download TikTok. And I didn't know that I downloaded TikTok because you push buttons so that you could watch the video type of thing, and then found out later that I had TikTok on my phone. And you can check my phone. I don't have TikTok anymore because I just downloaded it for that thing. But, you know, it will start directing you based on AI-directed logarithms, based on what you're looking at, and bringing more of that content at you. You understand that? It will find videos and guess what you like, and then it will pop up on your feed for you to accept or invite or whatever. They found that Instagram Reels will recommend adult-themed videos to users who follow children and teen influencers, because adults often, if they're looking at children or teen influencers, they're looking at them because of how these teen, they're presenting themselves. And the video to users who follow children, teen influencers, cheerleaders, and other young content creators. What they did is they set up test accounts on Instagram. They posed as adults on new devices, and then the accounts, they would use the accounts and they would follow preteen and teen influencers. And the results, it says, are startling. One test following young girls would then cause recommendations to steer towards adult-themed content, some of which included accounts that promoted adult content. It got even more disturbing from there. According to the report, the platform served a mix of adult pornography and child sexualizing material. As you click on, and you can click on the same video, or if you click on what's being presented, it is leading you to this pornographic, this content, sexualizing content. It's not just being openly presented to our kindergarten through three-year-olds through books that show sexual, you know, homosexual and other sexual actions and activities and how to do it. They are grooming children and this generation through logarithms through social media. They reviewed tests, Meta's AI tracking, that learned certain users who view these content creators would also want to engage with content sexualizing children and will actually direct them towards it. You don't need to look out your window anymore. It's worse than that. I got a phone call this morning as I was coming into church from a brother that's involved in cybersecurity. And I think that he had heard about this, and he deals with a lot of content, cybersecurity, online media, you know, and stuff like that. And he all of a sudden began to realize that certain reels that he would pull up, just intuitively, there were glitches in them. And so what he did is he started investigating some of these reels that were coming from certain influencers, and he said they come from all over the world, they're not just in the United States, that are somehow, and I'm guessing that the logarithms aren't even looking for these things. And so something was disturbing him as he would, some of these reels are coming across. He knew there was something wrong because as a cybersecurity investigator, you're trained to notice abnormalities in the code and stuff. And he said, what's happening is people are finding out And they play the pause game because obviously these short reels have frame, right? They're frames. They're frame after frame after frame. And what he found out was that there are many influencers that have hidden content in their reels, nude photos, suggestive pornography, topless, bottomless, that are hidden within these reels, that are coming in to our, right, and that our children are watching. And say, okay, Meta has a 13-year-old. You have to be 13 years old to have Instagram. You know that there are parents that are signing up for their kids that have no clue that this is happening. Even worse is it's drawing adults in, and not just men, women. I have seen, and years ago, Facebook, people getting so sucked into Facebook that it's ruined marriages. And that was maybe before they started embedding pornography and things in these reels. Think about what is happening to our society and our homes now. If you've ever been on a reel, it's quite possible if you clicked on it a number of times, it's because subliminally it's drawing you back to something that you are picking up subconsciously. And it's embedding it in, and then it's the more that you are, and our kids are on this, it is steering by logarithms more of these influencers who are doing this, because he said Meta is paying these influencers because, and not necessarily because that they're embedding this stuff in the content, but because that it's in the content and it is causing people to come to their, right, their site and to look at their content more and more and more. The more followers they get, the more of a cash cow they are. And they're being paid by Meta, TikTok. I believe on TikTok, they flat out ask for money in some for videos or support me or whatever. And so it's infiltrating. It's in the home. If you are on those sites, it's in your home. And the artificial intelligent logarithm is tracking you and tracking your habits, tracking what you watch, and is steering you to these things. And it's destroying homes. And it is implanting this garbage. We have a generation that is going to grow up and anything goes. That's why the Bible warns that there will be lawlessness before the coming of Antichrist, before Christ comes for his church. Lawlessness, sin. You wonder why sexual immorality is rampant. How it's so difficult to talk to your children now about purity and about waiting, because true love waits. We're going to see the seductress says, come lie with me in love. That's not love, that's lust. True love waits for those things. And so I was astounded as I was being told that this is, and it's not just, look, it's growing and growing and growing, and people are recognizing, there are influencers, and a lot of it women, young women, that want to have an income through their sites and very possibly are including these embedded pictures and images to suck people in. Because we know pornography is just like drugs and alcohol. People get addicted to it. And people are, look at our kids, they're addicted to their phones. Why are they addicted to their phones? And they're being influenced by these influencers. and they're being drawn and they're being sucked in by the media's logarithms that are acknowledging these things. And whether they know, look, they know that this is what's happening. But whether or not they know or they're not investigating it, they're not doing anything to stop it, and there's not a filter, I was told, that can stop it, that can pick it up. All you can do is play the pause game if you want to see what's embedded in the video. And so people are finding out, and they're doing the pause game, which means if they miss it, then they have to play it over again. And if they miss it, they have to play it over again, and the logarithm is just picking that up. Scary. And I'm telling you this because you all have, you might have brothers or sisters that are sucked into it, children, grandchildren that are watching this stuff. It is insidious, and it is a work of the devil. And in that, certainly the spirit of this world, you want to cry out against socialism and Marxism and everything else. It's just, that's just a smokescreen for the spirit of this world and the coming of Antichrist and what they're doing to our society. And they're doing it with our children. Yet foolish people also are opening themselves up to it, thinking that it's harmless. It's not harmless. And we're seeing the results of it today. God warns about it. Sad. Because like I said, I have stood against Facebook, and my daughter has, Beth will look just to see what's going on with people's lives and stuff like that. I don't know how much, you know, I don't think there's a lot of reels. You know, I know Instagram is the big thing now amongst their younger people. And it can be used for good. But if that's what you're standing behind so that you can go out and look at these things, I'm warning you. You're being foolish. Oh, you're such a buzzkill, Pastor Bill. You're a legalist. Seek wisdom. Seek knowledge. Walk, live in the fear of the Lord. Is it that important to you that you can't put it down or put it away? Just like, and the warning is going out, and sadly, this is all that, and I hope that other people will hear the message, because the warning is going out that God, to those that God has delivered from drugs and from alcohol and from sexual addiction and other things. Yet we see the church inviting this in and actually operating according to it and taking a stand to continue and to hold on to it. Is it that important that you can't put it down or put it away? And then I have a thing, how to protect your child, how to filter Instagram so that you get an alert when somebody's being invited or when someone's inviting your children so that you can go and you can investigate and stuff like that. But you may not have the technology to see what's embedded in that content. It may seem innocent, but you can't trust anything now. And there a woman met him with the attire of a harlot and a crafty heart. She was loud and rebellious. Her feet would not stay at home. At times she was outside, at times in the open square, lurking at every corner. So she caught him and kissed him with an impudent or shameless face. She said to him, I have peace offerings with me. Today I have paid my vows. So I came out to meet you diligently to seek your face, and I have found you. I have spread my bed with tapestry coverings of Egyptian linen. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love until the morning. Let us delight ourselves with love. As I said before, it's not love, it's lust. And I hope that parents in the church today are still teaching their kids that true love will wait. It can wait. Less and less, I think it's becoming less and less common that a young man and a young woman make it to their marriage night and their marriage bed having not given themselves to anybody else. For my husband is not at home. He has gone on a long journey. He has taken a bag of money with him and will come home on the appointed day. He's traveling. He's a traveling salesman, and he's going to be gone. How many people have been caught in the act, not thinking that the husband or the wife was going to come home, that they were off doing something, got home early, got off work, the warnings are there. The example in the scripture is Joseph, sold by his brothers into slavery, ultimately bought from the slave traders that had taken him, and he was taken into Potiphar's house. The Roman guard, one of the leaders, generals, and he put Joseph, because Joseph, he saw that God was with Joseph, and that because of Joseph, his own home was being blessed. And so it says that he put everything of his household in charge, Joseph in charge of everything of his household. He didn't even know what he had other than the bread, the food that was on his plate. That much trust. And he went away, whether it was to service, or to lead the army, whatever. And Potiphar's wife, her eyes fell upon Joseph, this young man. And you know the story? She said, come lie with me, and was constantly trying to trick him, the seductress. Scripture says, Paul said to Timothy, flee youthful lust. Flee. Run away from these things. And that's exactly what Joseph did. And obviously she turned it on him and flee youthful lust. You know, it's youthful lust if you're struggling with it even in your adulthood. And there's a way out. There's always a way out. God always gives a way out. Because I know somebody's going to hear this message and they're going to really struggle with it. But I love my Instagram. Oh, I don't watch any of those kinds of things. I don't follow any. Guys, baloney. For the guys, And even for the ladies. Because you're going to go look at those things to see what makes them so beautiful. Oh, what are they doing to make, right? Oh, and you don't even know that it's infiltrating your own mind through your eyes. Be careful. Be wise to really hear what God says is beauty, right? Beauty for a woman. With her enticing speech, she caused him to yield. With her flattering lips, she seduced him. Immediately he went after her as an ox goes to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, or as a lamb to be bound. Animal instinct. till an arrow struck his liver as a bird hastens to the snare. He did not know it would cost his life. Warning, there might be an angry husband or angry wife out there looking for you. Now, therefore, listen to me, my children. Pay attention to the words of my mouth. Do not let your heart turn aside to her ways. Do not stray into her paths, for she has cast down many wounded. And all who were slain by her were strong men. Her house is the way to hell, descending to the chambers of death. Old crocodile, the crocodile guy, danger, danger, danger. Does not wisdom cry out and understanding lift up her voice? She takes her stand on the top of the heights of the high hill beside the way where the paths meet. She cries out by the gates at the entry of the city, at the entrance of the doors. To you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. And just the same idea, right? The seductress, the harlot, stands in the streets, on the street corner, trying to get the attention of the passers-by. And Solomon says, wisdom situates itself in the same place. It is open for everybody. And for those that are honest, we have all, I mean, everybody has come into contact with the understanding of the wisdom of God, His law, His word. You ask anybody, they may not be able to cite the Ten Commandments, but they know that there are Ten Commandments of God, and they hate it, but they know about it. But we're not bound by the law. We're under grace. I've said that. It's one of the dumbest statements the church has ever made or anybody has made in the church. It's true, we're under grace. We're not under the law, but God, there's a purpose for God's law. We don't discount it or push it aside so that we can live sinfully. Listen, for I will speak of excellent things, and from the opening of my lips will come right things. For my mouth will speak truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are with righteousness. Nothing crooked or perverse is in them. They are all plain to him who understands, and right to those who find knowledge. Receive my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold, for wisdom is better than rubies. And all the things one may desire cannot be compared with her. Nothing compares to the Lord. And all of us can look back in our life, all the things that we've tried, all the things that we tried that we know that we shouldn't have done, or even the things that we didn't know that we shouldn't have done, but then have found out that they were not right, there are ways that weren't pleasing to the Lord. None of it came, right? None of it compares to what Christ has done for us. And now wisdom becomes personified because wisdom is a person. This you call it messianic. This is messianic proverb, messianic wisdom. This is prophetic. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge and discretion. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogance and the evil way and the perverse mouth I hate. And these things are antithetical to wisdom. Pride, arrogance, the evil way, and a twisted mouth. A mouth that speaks perversion. And a lot of what we see going on today and what is happening to our children through these media outlets and everything else, and they're targeting them, is to pervert them, to pervert their understanding and their way of thinking of what's right and what's wrong. In First John, well, let me tell you, it says Luke or John 8:12, Jesus spoke to them again, saying, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." And then in 12:35, Jesus said to them, "A little while longer, the light is with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he is going." And then 1 John 1:6, "If we say that we have fellowship with him, that we're his, and we walk in darkness," if our character, if what is evident in our lives comes across as pride and arrogance, the evil way, living sinful life, living contrary to what we know God desires for our lives, and a perverse mouth. If we walk in darkness, yet we say we have, you know, that we have fellowship with him, that we're his, we lie and do not practice the truth. "Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. I have strength. By me kings reign and rulers decree justice. By me princes rule and nobles all judge the earth. I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me. I know the thoughts that I think of you, says the Lord, thoughts of good and not of evil, that you might have a future and a hope. If you will seek me, I will be found by you." He says the same thing through Jeremiah, "Diligently seek, those who diligently seek me will find me. Riches and honor are with me, enduring riches and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, yes, than fine gold, and my revenue than choice silver. I walk about or traverse the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of justice, that I may cause those who love me to inherit wealth, that I may fill their treasuries." That's not of material things, but of spiritual things. And here where it really becomes personified, "The Lord possessed me at the beginning of his way, before his works of old." What does the Bible say about Jesus Christ? He was before the foundation of the world, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. There is nothing before him. "I have been everlasting, from the beginning, before there was ever an earth." And certainly it's saying wisdom. But we also know that Scripture says that he, Jesus Christ, became for us the wisdom of God and of salvation, of righteousness. He became for us the wisdom of God. And speaking through Solomon, the wisdom of God, knowing him. And that's what life is all about. It's in our DNA to know God, to know the truth. What we do with the truth is what we have to wrestle with individually. God isn't wrestling with it. He isn't. "When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there was no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills, I was brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth or the fields or the primal dust of the world, when he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he assigned the sea to its limit so that the waters would not transgress his command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him as a master craftsman." And I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in his inhabited world, and my delight was with the sons of men. The very thing that caused jealousy and Satan and pride to arise. But we also know John chapter 1, that John says, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. Without him, nothing was made that was made. That's exactly what the proverb is saying about Jesus Christ. Created, intelligent, evolution. There are a lot of smart scientists out there that believe in evolution. And the problem is not their intellect or the information that's before them, but they do not put it into practice. They don't recognize it. And it's because their lack of wisdom that they perpetrate this lie about evolution, when it's very evident. I mean, when you look, without getting, and I'm not, you know, I'm not versed in these things, but I know this: one cell in your body has enough information to fill over 18 volumes of the Encyclopedia Britannica. Over 600,000 pages, if you wrote out the information that is in one cell of your body, and each one of your cells, the information is there to replicate dead cells, to repair and keep your pulmonary system, your respiratory system, your brain, your everything, to build it, initially to build it, and then to keep it going. Every cell in your body has that much information. And that information, the scientists, it's evidence right before them, yet they're not very wise to acknowledge that there is an intelligence in that. An intelligence that they lack. It's not an intelligence they lack, because it's in their cells too. It's mind-blowing and mind-boggling all at the same time. But the Bible says that they're fools, because they will not attribute that information and that intellect and what is very clear to a creator. Instead, they believe that over time that over time through evolution, and I'm trying to think of, you know, that what makes us up, the elements of the world over time, anything that with the elements reacting and acting within the elements, that anything can be made. I don't know if I said that right, but that's. So, you know, this building could have just popped up over billions of years the way that it is. It's inane. All the ziggurats they're finding out in the middle of nowhere, that was just evolution. That was, you know, the elements in interacting over time. And that's what it just popped up. You believe that? Where did I leave off there? Oh yeah. Now therefore listen to me, my children, for blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise, and do not disdain it. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. The gate, the doors. This is it. You know that none of your Bibles are locked. Open gate, open door. to come and to listen to wisdom. For whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who sins against me wrongs his own soul. All those who hate me love death. Christ, the wisdom, he's become the wisdom of God for us. And here's the thing. You can wrestle with in all your life and have a problem with the Word of God and struggle with truth and everything else. And in accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord, none of that will matter because that can all be forgiven. The only thing that will never be forgiven is if you reject Christ and it's the truth, the wisdom of God that is laid out in the Word. It says, you hate me and you're just inviting death into your life. The blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, the rejection of the wisdom of God is the only unforgivable sin. And you have till your last breath. Don't wait, because you don't know when that's going to come. You have the opportunity now. And if the Holy Spirit is telling you to close out some apps, oh, but Facebook, it's a way that I can follow everybody. And look, and I've seen some, I've seen the list of friends that some people have. Thousands. You can't follow them all. You can't. Go to lunch with them. Give them a call. Text them. But if the Spirit's telling you to do it, because the Spirit's prompting you, because you're already in danger. You're already in danger. Very dangerous for those that have been brought out of the addiction of sexual immorality, pornography, and all the other things, because these things seem benign, and oh, it's not a big deal, it's not pornography. The enemy knows it. The enemy knows that you think it's benign. And it's a simple way to excite that addiction again. Be careful. It's in your home. It's in your home. So, hopefully, you don't think I'm Debbie Downer. I don't identify as a woman. Don't worry. But it's insidious what's happening and how trusting the church has become of an untrustworthy world. We've let our guard down. And I'm not going to besmirch. Thank you. There's somebody that's I'm not going to besmirch pastors that use it as a way to get out devotions and those things. It's, and even we have Instagram and we can put out good things, but I will never open the church up to receiving anything out. We don't accept friends. I don't even think we have Facebook on there anyways. And any invites on Instagram are senseless because we're not going to respond. And there's only one. It's only for information going out. And the information that's going to go out from here is about truth and about life that this world needs and about Jesus Christ that we all need more and more of desperately. Heavenly Father, I pray that, and before the worship team comes up, just hang tight. Lord, search our hearts and protect our family and our little ones and our loved ones. And Lord, give us courage to at least present the dangers that they've opened themselves up to. We know the resistance that will come because of whether it's peer pressure or there's already a strong tether that has been formed by, Lord, we know the enemy, and through these reels and what they have embedded. Lord, I just pray that by your Spirit, you would open hearts and minds and give us courage in our homes to say not here, or to be very, very vigilant in what comes out, what comes in, and Lord, to be strong, to stand strong about the information that goes out, that it be truth and life. And so I just pray that you would protect us, your children, my brothers, my sisters, in knowing that this. Lord, we invite you just to be here and move. Lord, we know that we have physical challenges and ailments in our midst, sisters and brothers who have been praying for relief, for comfort, for healing. And so, Lord, I believe, Lord, you want to move, and that this time is for that. And so, Lord, would you meet your sons and daughters personally tonight as we lift them up to you? And I pray this in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen. And